Okay. Today is my father's yard site. So this year is in memory of my father. This is his second yard site. So Zech Nishmas Avi Mor Shlomo Zalman Ben Eliyahu. Okay. So today we are discussing civil marriages and whether or not they constitute anything in halacha, whether or not having just a civil marriage, meaning just going to court, getting a document signed by, I pronounce you husband and wife, by the power vested in me in the state of New York, or whatever it is. Does that constitute anything in halacha or in Judaism and Torah? So the problem is, the three problems that we can like really think about right now is as follows. The first is whether or not after the marriage you need a get, which is a halachic divorce document. What do you do if you can't get a get? And they're divorced civilly and you can't get a halachic divorce. And then the biggest question, of course, comes up with the idea of mamzerus, which is – we spoke a little bit about it the other week. But just a quick recap is when there's a child born out of an illegal relationship according to Torah law. So if a father and mother, if a son and a son and a mother have a child together, a siblings have a child together. If a child is born while the wife is still married to a different man, if somehow you could prove that the child was conceived while the woman was a nida. So there's a lot of different situations where a mamzer would come up. It's any illicit relation, any of the relationships that says in the Torah you're not allowed to have relationships with. A child born out of those relationships is considered a mamzer, what we might consider now a bastard child, but I hate using those words because that comes with so many connotations. So we're just going to use the Hebrew word, which is much nicer, which is a mamzer. Mamzers are not allowed to marry other people except for other mamzers. So they can only marry other mamzers. They cannot marry, so to speak, a natural born Jew. So we try to avoid mamzers as much as we can because it presents itself with a lot of issues. So if someone could potentially be halachically married and not have a halachic get, you could have a problem if the wife decides to remarry and have children if they are halachically married, because then it could create mamzerim. Everyone on the same page? Questions, comments, concerns? Yes. What do you mean? Meaning if you have, so you don't necessarily know, but if it was discovered that that child later on is now saying, oh yeah, my parents are not religious and they had a halachic marriage, but they never had a, or they had a civil marriage and they never had a halachic divorce, and my mom remarried. So then, and I'm a product of that mother, right? I'm my mom's second marriage. I'm the child of my mom's second marriage. And now that child wants to marry a religious person because they are themselves religious. They could find themselves in a little bit of a hard situation because they find out that they are the product of an illicit relation.
But say that you are a product of irreligious parents. You don't know if she was or not. Maybe you also don't know what they do.
Right. So the question here is a civil marriage considered a halachic marriage? Because if a civil marriage constitutes a halachic marriage, meaning if I go just to a court or if I have just a minister of the court come to the wedding and say, by the power vested in me, by the state of New York, you're now presented husband and wife. So does that constitute a halachic marriage as well? If it does constitute a halachic marriage, then you would need a get to get divorced. A get is that halachic document that says that you are divorced. If it's considered a halachic marriage, if a civil is considered a halachic marriage and you do not have a get and the wife gets remarried and has children, that child could potentially be a mamzer. If it is not considered a halachic marriage, you do not need a get and then you clear up problems. Yeah.
Is there a concept of an annulment in halacha?
Not really annulment. It's more like, let's try and see if we could poke holes in the situation. Like, so rather than declaring a child a mamzer, we'd rather poke holes and be like, oh, let's see if the two witnesses of the wedding, which constitutes a valid Jewish wedding, are somehow related to each other or related to the bride or groom, because that would invalidate them as witnesses. Let's try to see if we can somehow invalidate the date. Let's see if we can somehow invalidate the document somehow that makes it that they're not actually married somewhat. But there's no like annulment of like you can retroactively say we weren't I mean, yeah, the answer is that that is the annulment. Are we all on the same page? Yeah.
Okay, so let's say you go to the court, and are you able to do a Jewish marriage out of court too?
Well, that's what we're discussing today.
If you're doing the Jewish marriage out of court, then let's say you get divorced by the court, then is that considered again?
That's what we're discussing today. Okay, so let's get into it. Any other questions, comments, concerns before we start? All good? All good in the hood? Okay. There's a Mishnah in Kedushin that says that a woman is betrothed, a woman is married according to with three things. That is, with money, with a document, and with sexual relations. And there's another Mishnah in Gittin that says there's a story of a couple that was divorced, and they went to an inn, and they were totally by themselves. And they were observed going into the inn. There was no one else in the inn. It was totally deserted except for them. And they cohabitated with each other. They were in the same room. Now, Beis Hillel says that they are now remarried because they consummated a marriage, so to speak, right? They had sexual relations. They were alone. Even though you didn't necessarily see the act of sexual relations actually happening, this is the same thing at a Jewish wedding that you might see that after the marriage canopy, after the chuppah, the now new husband and wife go into a secluded room, and it's called the cheder yichud, the yichud room. And that is a room that is then guarded by two men who also check out the room, make sure that there's no other exits, that the couple is really secluded in this room, and that the act of sexual relations could have potentially happened. That is considered as if the act did happen, even if it didn't, as long as there is a possibility of it happening, because again, that they are seen going into a room without anyone interrupting or entering in that time period. Additionally, there's a concept called concept says in Adam Oseb Bilas Bilaso Bilas Zunus, that no one, or normally people, do not have sexual relations outside of their marriage, and therefore you can assume that if they are having sexual relations, they are doing so for their marriage. Now, before the 19th century, you didn't really have to worry about civil marriages, because most marriages were in fact already done by a religious entity. So it was either done by the church, or it was done by a rabbi, or whatever other faith you were doing it in. But there was no such thing as a secular wedding, thing. Most people were being married by, let's say, the church, because that was the most thing. So if someone was being married by the church, they are not obviously being worrying or caring about a halachic marriage. And they're kind of showing, if a Jewish couple goes to a church to get married, they're kind of showing that they are not interested in a Jewish or religious wedding. However, they do have this idea of in Adam Oseh, right, that a person usually doesn't have relations outside of his marriage. And therefore, if the couple keeps a sense of Tarat HaMishpacha, if they keep the rules of family purity, so potentially this wedding would actually be valid. And that's the Riva. There's a lot of laws around family purity about what times of the month that that you guys can be together, around the woman's period, that the man and woman have to separate, and that they can't have relations. So the Rivash says basically that if they're keeping this family purity, so then potentially they could be married. But otherwise, they're kind of showing that they are not interested in having a Jewish wedding. And the Truma Sadesh and the Ridvaz and the Mishnah Melech all agree to the Rivash. The Rambam also adds onto it that this idea that people are only going to be with their similar to the Rivash, that most people normally do not have sexual relations outside their marriage. The Rivash says that that only happens if they're keeping family purity. Rambam says this only is true about people who are kosher people, people who are not necessarily the most upright standing people. You can't necessarily assume that they're going to not have sexual relations outside of marriage because they're not upright people to begin with. So you can't assume that all their acts are going to be upright anyway. And the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama agree with this as well. So then you have Rav Moshe Feinstein who comes into play and he says, well, what do we do about people who have just a civil marriage? So what do you do? So he says that they actually require a get. They require a halachic divorce. Or he says it's much more preferred for them to have a halachic divorce because of the rule of most people are not having sexual relations outside of their wedding. However, if it is impossible to receive the get for whatever reason, so he says you are allowed to be lenient like the Rivash that they would therefore not, that the rule does not apply, that most people have relations only within the context of marriage, and therefore they would not be halachically married. Comes Rav Yosef Eliyahu Henkin on the scene. He lived from 1881 to 1973. And he is probably the sole opinion that says that, no, we absolutely require a get. These people are definitely married. If they are having sexual relations, that is considered an act of kiddushin, an act of acquisition. It is considered an act of actual marriage. And therefore, these two people are absolutely married according to halacha. You do not need any intention towards doing this act of acquisition or act of marriage. And the marriage and halachic marriage would definitely, definitely be chal. It would definitely be upon them. And that this couple, basically any act of sexual relations that is done for a long-term, permanent, monogamous relationship is considered a marriage, period. That is, even if it's not done by a court, as long as they have sexual relations, that is considered a full-fledged marriage, according to Rav Henkin. But absolutely everyone almost absolutely everyone disagrees with Rav Henkin and says, no, you do not need a get for either a civil marriage or what would be called a common law marriage, which would be just having the relations in this case. We say basically that the sexual relations in this case does not cause you to have a marriage. Because you don't even know, especially if the couple doesn't even know that having sexual relations will cause you to be married, right? You can't do it for the sake of getting married. Having these relations is for the sake of getting married. If in the end of the day, you don't even know that that's the case. So we say that if they're interested, that they're not even interested in this idea of Jewish marriage or halachic marriage, so then they're just having this they're just having sexual relations in a relationship, and it would not count as a marriage. What? Yeah. Well, no. This is talking about presumably two single people. Yeah.
I have a question. So like, let's say for money reasons, like you married somebody, like not because you like them or anything like that. You just married them for like state purposes and getting money or reasons like that.
Okay.
Would that we need to get to after that?
Well, it depends. Well, if you're not living together and you're only married on paper,
yeah,
and you're not otherwise totally not you're not having any relations and you're not doing anything of a married couple, presumably no, because it's not that the civil marriage has any validity, and it's not the document. It's just the general concept of if you're getting civilly married and then acting as a married couple, what do you do?
Meaning we're not assuming that people are just getting married for tax purposes or green cards or whatever else here. That we're presuming that these people are getting civilly married and then living as a married couple. Yeah?
So you were talking about friends with benefits kind of thing, right?
We're talking about people who want to exist in a relationship and are getting married and are only getting civilly married and are not getting halachically married. Good? We're all on the same page? Okay, so the two exceptions are as follows. The first exception is, what do you do with a couple that got married in a country where Jewish marriage ceremonies were totally outlawed? So then a civil marriage might actually count as a halachic marriage because you don't know what their true intention was. Meaning their true intention could have been actually to get married totally according to halacha, and therefore, and also on top of it, you also might have this thing of this concept, right, that we discussed already of people don't normally have relations outside of their marriage. So with both of these things, we say that people who were married in a country where they've outlawed Jewish weddings would have a stronger reason to be halachically married in this case. And the second exception would be if the couple wanted to be Balei Tshuva. So the couple started off totally not religious and got married secularly and then became religious later on. So if they became religious later on in life, so then the sexual relations that they had as they were becoming more scrupulous in the commandments, so right, so they're totally secular before, they kept nothing, they didn't even know, they just knew that they were born Jewish but didn't keep anything. They got civilly married, so then, right, according to everyone, it's not a halachic marriage because they didn't even know that having relations would form a halachic marriage. So they then decide later in life to become religious, and later in life, when they decide to become religious, they start keeping more commandments, they start keeping more mitzvot, and then the act of sexual relations later on, when they becoming more religious, actually might count as the halachic marriage. So therefore, they would actually potentially have a halachic marriage, and they should ask Rabbi, yeah.
So, they got married, but not halachically, correct?
Correct. So then, if they have kids, what does that count as? Do they have to marry anyone? Or? Yeah, they could still marry anyone because neither of the couple were married before. And it's not an illicit relation.
Okay. Why would they have to have another marriage then?
They're not. They're just saying that they are halachically married afterwards and therefore would need to get, if they decide to get divorced.
So let's say they weren't halachically married. Like, what, there's no like step with the rabbi that they can do to make it like afterwards, like after the wedding.
I'm sure that they can, but we're saying that even in the process of becoming religious, they might have actually made the marriage halachic in the middle without even realizing. So, meaning if they became religious, let's just use dates, right? They were totally not religious in the 90s. Got married in the 90s, 2000 comes, and they decide to be religious, the year 2000, right? They start keeping mitzvot, and it's now the year 2007, and they're trying to say, okay, should I now get remarried with a rabbi because we don't know if our marriage was halachic, but they could potentially have been already married from 2002, 2001, 2000, once they started keeping more mitzvot and everything. But that's why you have to talk to a rabbi, make sure, and see what other steps need to be taken in that case. We're all on the same page? Yes? Okay. And lastly, we have the biggest problem, which is in today's over-sexualized society, the rule of most people are not having sexual relations outside of their marriage is really no longer true anymore and constitutes a definite problem. So what do we do now that people are not having sexual relations just in the context of marriage? It actually totally destroys all of our extra possibilities of people saying, well, most people are just having relations in the, so it would seem that in almost all cases, almost across the board, that civil marriages are not going to constitute a halachic marriage, because we no longer even have the case of most people are only having sexual relations within the context of a marriage, because people unfortunately go around sleeping with whoever and whomever they want. So it brings about these cases that that run the gamut, and we don't really know, you know. And so if you ever get yourself into a situation or you hear about the situation, so all those people should ask a competent local Orthodox rabbi to find out what they should do. Have a wonderful day.